This podcast is part of the Planet Broadcasting Network.
Visit planetbcasting.com for more podcasts from our great mates.
Hi, I'm Leon Sjogren, and welcome to Am I Funny? A podcast documenting my attempt to perform stand-up comedy for the very first time in just 7 weeks. Many people fear public speaking more than death, which I guess makes stand-up comedy one of the most terrifying things a person can do. So yeah, the idea scares me, but for some reason, I am fascinated by it.
I don't mean to terrify you, but if I was going to give any new comedian a piece of advice, here's the piece of advice I would give them. Whatever your first gig is like, never release the audio to anybody.
That's one of Australia's best comedians, Will Anderson. He's one of the many talented comics enlisted to help me over the next 7 weeks to see if I can learn and perform stand-up comedy for the very first time. Oh, yeah, and you'll be along for the ride as well.
I've got a very bad feeling about this, Leon.
This is Am I Funny? Episode 6, Showtime. Well, this has been an exhausting week. After several stressful attempts at rewriting my routine, I finally realised that I may have been too much of a perfectionist. I'd been trying bits over and over and over, and I was never happy with it. So eventually, I settled on what I thought was the best I could do and started reciting it over and over in my head, just so it was stuck there for good. Hands up, whose mum came with them tonight? Yes, thank you. Janae, my mum is here tonight. Her and Dad came up just for this. This is my first time doing stand-up. I'm from Melbourne originally, and they've flown up. Well, actually, no, they didn't fly up.
I practiced in front of the mirror, in the shower, and even in the car. I was getting some weird looks from people at the lights. I wanted to make sure I knew this routine back to front without even thinking. With a few days to go, I spoke to a few key comedians for some final words of wisdom. A pep talk, if you will. First up was Lawrence Mooney, who, much like Mick Molloy, gave some great insight, but also found a way to bully me.
Let me tell you, it's awesome. Yeah. Once you've got a crowd in the palm of your hand, you'll never feel that level of rapport again, not with your closest loved one or your favourite friend or a member of your family. And the buzz afterwards is huge. You'll be on a high for a long time, and thus comes drug and alcohol dependency. So you've got to watch out for that.
Yeah. Great.
My advice to you is you're going to be very nervous going into your first one. You're probably nervous now, so you've got to quell the nerves. But I would do a bit of booze just beforehand. It shouldn't become a preparation thing forever. And then when you're on stage, you must commit. The only time that an audience will back away from a joke is when you do.
Yeah.
If you don't think it's any good, they won't. You must commit 100% over and above 100%. If you've got something that you think is a bit dodgy, you've got to go even harder. You've got to work through the flop. You can't allow them to take you. Otherwise, you walk away with stain, not only on your soul, but on the gusset of your undies, because you will have shit your pants and shamed yourself in front of an audience and shamed your family for generations to come. You will have besmirched the Trojan name, the Trojan horse, they will call you.
Will Anderson explained what he loved about seeing someone's first ever stand-up gig.
The reason I love watching people do their first gigs is that comedy is at its best when it's honest, when you have an honest connection with the audience, right?
Yeah.
So first gigs, regardless of how it's going, you've never seen someone more bare naked and honest in front of you. You know everything about them because you don't have the skills at that stage to hide. Yeah. Even the things that you think you're hiding are telling the audience so much more about you than what, you know, if you're too confident or if you're too nervous or you're too whatever. The audience is reading these things like because you haven't learnt the skills that replicate and mask your body language and do those sort of things. It's a fucking beautiful thing to watch, and it's why often people's first gigs are awesome.
Yeah.
Because you haven't learnt anything that's going to fuck it up for you. Normally second gigs can be really terrible because the reason is that you think you know shit.
Yeah.
After your first gig.
You're
your first gig
it.
went yeah. really well, and you're like, well, I'll just replicate that and blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
But the reason it worked was you didn't know anything, so instead of letting shit get in your way, you were having an authentic experience with an audience.
Yeah.
Because, stand-up comedy is dancing or surfing. You know, it's you and the other thing in tandem together.
Yeah.
And when you start, you have an innate connection to that, that you then spend years fucking destroying, thinking that you're learning and like replicating people and trying to fucking learn everything.
Yeah.
And then eventually you get good enough that you remember that the thing you're meant to be doing is be authentic. And that's why you see people in their 30s, 40s and whatever become much more honest and authentic about their comedy a lot of the time. And, you know, but it almost returns you to what you were like when you first started. And so, like, the most important thing at the end of all this will be to just kind of shake all that out and just, as much as you possibly can,
yeah,
just be in the moment and in the experience, because that's the trick of it.
Yeah.
But you can't, I can tell you that.
Yeah.
And about 7 years from now, if you're still doing stand-up comedy,
yeah,
you will one day think of me and go, oh, fuck, now I understand what he was talking about.
And Merrick Watts? Well, God bless him. He was just really lovely and supportive.
I think, personally, you're going to be fine. You've got a very likeable personality. You're very easy. You've got an easy kind of presence, right? I can see people, and I've seen this lots of before, I've known some very, very funny people who write very, very clever jokes, and they get up on stage and they have no human warmth. And I think that their career is retarded from that.
Mm.
They can't quite progress as comedians because there's just not enough human empathy in them. And I think that, you know, you can be cool and you can be standoffish even.
Yep.
But if people think that there's a something relatable or human warmth to them, your personality comes across as very warm, very caring, and very not vulnerable, but accessible.
Yep.
And I reckon that's a huge advantage for you. I wouldn't worry. I wouldn't worry about your personality. You've got the sort of personality people are going to naturally like. The more you do jokes, the more people see you do good material, the more people will like you. You're not one of those people that sometimes you feel, I don't like that person, but they are writing clever jokes. And there are comedians like that. Everyone has a comedian like that. You think, you know what, I don't like their personality, but they do write good jokes.
Yeah, yep.
You've got a personality that will be, I think, you know, pretty much universally liked. Or they'll fucking hate you. Let that play in your head when you're out there.
Finally, the day arrived. It was a Monday, so I still had to go to work. I was completely distracted for the whole day. It was all I could think about. Again, trying to fit in times to recite my routine in my mind whilst doing work, it was tough. Late in the afternoon, I ducked into a quiet room to gather my thoughts.
A few hours off from going to Cafe Lounge. Been at work all day and I have been feeling sick in the stomach all day. Like, everyone's been coming up to me going, oh, you ready for tonight? You ready for tonight? And I've just, at this point, I don't know whether I'm more excited about doing it or just having it done. I've been skydiving before once and I've got the same feeling I did when I was about to jump out of the plane, my stomach. But this point, I've had it all day as opposed to a few minutes before I jumped out of the plane. The only thing is I'm just really, 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 really anxious. Feeling sick. Like, I just want to get it done now. I reckon I've got my jokes. I've been saying it over and over again. I've been repeating it over and over. I did it in the car a few times just to try and do it when I wasn't focusing, just so it's embedded in my head. There's a couple of little bits that I feel like I may stumble over or I keep forgetting, but I just want to get up there and do it now.
Cut to a few hours later, and I was at the Cafe Lounge, and my gig was so unbelievably close. It was really weird. I went through so many different emotions in the space of just 1 hour. At one stage, I was extremely calm and quiet. And then every now and then, I would get a sudden burst of energy. I just felt uneasy. As mentioned in previous podcasts, both my parents had driven 9 hours from Melbourne to see my debut. Aren't they bloody awesome? Mum looked a bit more nervous than me, so I took her aside to see how she was handling it all.
I'm very nervous for you. But
that's where I get my nervous laugh from. I've always wondered that.
Oh, is it? I do have a bit of a nervous laugh, I think, yeah. But we've got top position so we can see you pretty clearly, and there's going to be lots of people there. So I think you'll do really well.
I'm glad you're in clear position because I am going to point you out at one point.
No, you're not. No.
Yes, yeah.
Please no.
No, there's a few things. There's nothing embarrassing.
You sure?
Yeah, it's fine.
Okay, as long as I don't have to get up on stage, that's fine.
No, you won't do that. It's fine.
Oh, that's good. Not a problem.
All right, I'll speak to you afterwards.
Okay, good luck.
My best friend Jackie had also come all the way from Melbourne. However, she decided to avoid the 9-hour drive and flew up. As always, she was super supportive. She was my rock.
Don't laugh.
Sorry.
All right.
Okay.
It's like, what is it? It's 7 o'clock.
Yes.
It's Monday night.
Yes.
We're at the cafe lounge. I'm on at 8 o'clock.
You have shit yourself, haven't you?
A little bit.
You can see it.
Do you want to check?
You're just turtle-heading a bit, aren't you?
I have felt sick all day.
I can see.
Yeah. And got a bit of the shakes.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Nervous.
Yes.
How do you reckon I'm going to go?
I think you'll be fine. I have the utmost confidence in you. You're a very funny person.
Yep.
There are worse things that you could do,
mm-hmm.
right?
Yes.
And we said to each other last night, what is the absolute worst thing that could happen on stage? And we decided that if you shit yourself, that would be the worst, okay?
This is a theme. Lawrence said that as well.
And I just don't think you're going to shit yourself.
Mm-hmm.
So I think you're going to be fine.
All right.
Yeah?
Yeah, cool.
And seriously, just pat your head really aggressively and I'll make a really loud noise and you can run off stage. Like, give me some kind of signal.
Great.
And we'll create a diversion for you.
All right. Thank you, Jackie. Thank you for being here.
My pleasure.
My spot came closer and closer. It was a full house. The lights went down. The house music stopped. And the MC, Casey Talbot, got on stage. That's when those nerves kicked back in, and I got that sick feeling again. I quickly ducked out the front with Hammo for some last-minute advice.
How do you feel hearing the show actually starting?
Really nervous.
Yeah, it's when the house music comes down and suddenly the lights go up and you see the first person walking up just to introduce the MC, it's really at that moment you realise, I can't get out of this.
Yeah.
I just can't do it. Like,
yep.
I can't do it without, you know, losing a little bit of heart in what I'm doing. So now you're committed. So you know what you do? Oh, well, you might as well enjoy it. It's going to happen.
Yeah, true. Good point.
Yeah. It's not bad now. Like, this is the anticipation.
Yep.
It started. The momentum is rolling, so you might as well just go, well, fuck it. This is all right.
All right.
You know?
All right.
And a little bit of stretching. Just do a little bit of stretching of your back and your, you know, your arms and that, because you build up tension in the joints. So it's such a dumb-looking thing, but it really does help with nerves at times like this.
All right, I'm ready for this, I think.
Oh, yeah, and 15 shots of vodka. Like, let's go and knock off 15 shots of vodka.
You've been talking to Lawrence, haven't you?
Yeah, 14 shots of tequila and work your way down, and then eventually someone will say, didn't you do a gig 3 weeks ago? And you'll go, I don't know. I don't even know how I got here in New Zealand, so...
All right, I'm off.
All right, have fun, mate.
Whew. This was it. The moment of truth. I walked back in. I grabbed myself a beer... and I got a spot at the back of the room. I could literally feel my heart beating so fast. I was frantically running through my routine in my head, but I couldn't focus as I was trying to rush through it before I got on stage. And as I was doing that, the MC, Casey, started to introduce me. I took one last look at my makeshift notes. I took a deep breath.
Let's make it nice and loud.
And I walked up on stage.
And bring on Mr. Leon Shogun!
Let's hear it for our MC, Casey. So, firstly, hands up who came here with their mum. Janae, my mum, thank you very much for coming up here. My mum and my dad, this is my first ever stand-up gig ever. Never done anything like this before. That's my notes. That's why they're there, in case. So just bear with me. But my parents did come here from Melbourne tonight. They drove 9 hours to see 5 minutes of me. Way to add the pressure, thank you. That's how much they hate Tiger.
No, look, I'm grateful for my parents. Mum and I have a very great relationship. I listen to all the advice she gives me. Recently, I was down in Melbourne, and look, it's cold in Melbourne. I was walking out the door, and I didn't have a jumper on, and she said, Leon, put a jumper on. You catch a death of cold. Like, what the fuck? Seriously? Like, start at sniffles or a flu. But no, you're going to get hypothermia, and your organs will start shutting down, and, you know, your skin will start going blue, and you'll probably die. I was like, fuck, give me the jumper, okay? Just, I'll put it on. I listen to everything she says. You know, she gave me some health advice recently, which she did it in the nicest way possible. You know, high-pitched voice. Leon, you know what? Try the gym. Give the gym a bit of a go. It'll be fun. Bit of exercise. Get outside. It'll be good. It'll be good. So I have taken up the gym. I'm seeing a personal trainer. His name's Joey. He's a great guy. We have nothing in common. I get there on a Monday and he says, you know, how was your weekend? You know, just being polite. And I tell him about, you know, the gigs I've been to and the alcohol I consumed and the shitty food I've eaten. And his eyes just glaze over like a really buff zombie from Walking Dead. And he, you know, I'm polite. I ask back, how was your weekend? And he tells me about the new flavour of, you know, protein smoothie he tried and how much weight he lifted yesterday and how little body hair he has. So nothing in common. You can tell I've got a hairy ass. But look, he was great. The first day at the gym, he said, here's what we're going to do. We'll set a goal weight. And once you get to that goal weight, I'll take you out to lunch, my treat. It's like, great. So we started working out. I've lost a little bit of weight, as you can tell. hurtful. Come on. And I started getting towards the goal weight, and I thought about it and went, fuck, I don't think I can do this. Not because I wasn't, you know, ready to lose the weight. I just don't want to go for lunch with him. He's a fuckwit. He really is. Nothing in common. Like, I know we'll have, you know, kale smoothies and protein balls for lunch. Yeah, great. But no, I don't know what to talk to him about. Like, you know, the one thing I know he would talk about is DOMS. Does anyone know what DOMS are? Delayed onset muscle soreness. Healthy people fucking love talking about DOMS. Oh, tell you what, my DOMS are coming in soon. Worked out 2 days ago, DOMS are going to come today. The only DOMS I'm waiting for is Saturday night when I'm in my undies and 16-year-old Gary is going to deliver a pizza from Domino's. That's the only DOMS I'm waiting for. Thank you. Sorry. Bit of dry mouth. Really nervous. Just, you know, round of applause for a second. Mum and I get along really well. We did have one disagreement when I was growing up, and I'm sure some people here... round of applause if this happened to you. You weren't allowed Foxtel. Yeah. It's like, I was spoiled. It was a great upbringing. It was fantastic. You know, like, you know, Mum, can I get in this car with a stranger? Sure, Leon, let me know when you get home. Can I try meth? Sure. Just share with your sister, though. Can we get Foxtel? Fuck no, Leon. We've got 4 freeware channels and SBS, which I know you're watching late at night. But I have, look, now I'm an adult, I've got Foxtel. It's great. Sucked in, Mum. It's irrelevant now because Netflix is around. But the worst thing about having Foxtel is people assume you love Game of Thrones. I hate it. It's fucked. I don't give a shit. I don't know what is it about Game of Thrones. People just love to... You need to watch this. It's like a cult. I told my friend the other day, oh, look, he said to me, have you caught up with Game of Thrones? And I said, I don't really watch it. He looked at me like I killed a baby. Which is weird because that happens in the show a lot, I think. I've heard. Like, I feel that's what sort of... thing. Like, they try and convince you. I feel like, you know, they go, oh, there's backstories and characters and you get to, you know, get into their, you know, families. And it's like, I don't want instructions to watch a TV show. It's like looking at Ancestry.com each week. It's too confusing. The other thing they do... It's a slow delay, that one. The other thing they do is they always try and convince you. They go... There's a lot of sex and gore. It's good. You'll like it. I was like, how is that a selling point? It's like going to a hospital, setting your Tinder location to a kilometre. Like, you're going to see some babes, but there'll be some wounds and some of them might die as well. So, the other... And I feel like I get all the... I get all the references in Game of Thrones. Like, I feel like people talk to me enough about it that I get it. The only thing I didn't get was White Walkers. I thought that was a march organised by Pauline Hanson. But it's not. It's something else. The, that was really late when I came up with that one, like 3 a.m. but I just think the creator, George R.R. Martin, he is not an author, not a director. He hasn't created this. He's like feels like he's a salesperson that's just like a pyramid scheme. I reckon it's a pyramid scheme. He's gone to HBO and said, here's my script. Now, you five make it, but then you show five other people, and they'll show five other people, and you'll get a cash. You'll get the cash from it. I've never watched it. I feel like it's Dragon selling Thermomixes and, you know, Tupperware. I feel like when Jon Snow comes out and says winter is coming, he'll follow up with, so buy a Snuggie for $29.95. Call now and you'll get the sword from the Red Wedding. It slices. It dices. You know? And that's it for me. Thank you.
I'd done it. So much work and effort leading up to this moment. It was all such a blur. I remember jumping off the stage buzzing, a few handshakes and high fives from friends and family. I just didn't know how to react. It was just energy coming out of my body. I went straight back outside to debrief with Hammo, who was there with comedian Tegan Higginbotham.
Oh, shit, I've just walked off stage.
Well, that was the worst thing I've ever seen. And I'm embarrassed, and I'll never speak to you again.
I'm so
sweaty. I can't
believe
I wasted my time turning up to this. All these weeks that we've put in, and it's turned out to be terrible. You're not going to have to just give up comedy. You're going to have to move state, mate. Like, I'm sorry about this. No, Leon, that was great. That was really great. There was a moment that I noticed, which I reckon was about somewhere between 90 seconds and 2 minutes in, where you'd already gotten some good laughs, but then you got a really hearty laugh, and I saw your shoulders just stop being tense and relax, and then you started fucking ad-libbing, and I thought, what's going on with this asshole? This is his first gig. Oh, yeah, I wrote that at 3 a.m. Oh, yeah, hey, I'm really nervous.
That was true, though, I did.
Yeah, I know, but you had the confidence to give it a bit of director's commentary, you know. It was like, hey, I'm really nervous, my mouth's a bit dry, how about another round of applause? And everyone just went, oh, yeah, no worries, it was great. You must be wrapped.
Oh, fuck, I am. I'm buzzing.
Yeah. Did you have a really good time? Did you enjoy it? Like, yeah. What do you remember of it?
I remember the lights being really bright.
Oh, man, it's always, you know, no matter how much you warn someone. We've got Tegan Higginbotham here.
Yeah, come on, she's a comedian. You're a comedian.
Oh, hey, hey.
And no matter how much you warn someone about the lights, it always takes you by surprise, doesn't it?
Yeah, stage is way hotter than you could ever assume that it would ever be.
Can I
ask you a question, though? Did you run out of breath?
Yeah, a little bit, yeah.
I only ever do gigs unless I'm hyperventilating. Like,
I have to say, we didn't record this earlier, but before I went on, you guys both gave me the advice. Thank EMC,
yeah.
Casey,
because
it gives you that time for while the applause is happening.
Yeah.
I could get the mic out of the stand, my beer down, and just get my surroundings.
Yeah.
Fuck me, that helped. Thank you.
Oh, yeah, no worries. So, you know, there's so many little tricks that just set the stage in such a good way, and the getting that extra round of applause for you know, it's manners, do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But it gives you that moment where you get to move the microphone stand out of the way. That was another good thing to do. Mm. Have a look, and you have a moment to take it all in, and then as the applause dies down, bam, you're into your first routine. Everyone's been looking at you for a while, so they're a little bit more relaxed.
I have to admit, though, like, before your gig, we had a chat, and I was reminiscing about my first spot and remember that it wasn't as good as I thought it was going to be. It wasn't as bad as I dreamt that it could have been. It was just fine.
Mm.
That spot was a killer. Like, that was a gala spot, and I am just so sorry You're going to do great, because that was a gala spot.
You know what this means is because this one's been good, the next few will be good, and then there's a stinker just around the corner.
But I'm just dreading how you'll feel after gig number four, where for some reason there's some drunk woman in the front, she gives you shit, the MC fucks up your name when you're coming on. I just feel bad for that.
Yeah. And you know what you also did, for anyone who's listening who's thinking about getting up, regardless of how you felt, you look prepared, and looking prepared, you know, you might have had jokes that didn't quite land, or you might have had a routine that you weren't quite certain of in the sense of reaction, but you were prepared, and therefore people kind of felt the confidence that you were moving through things.
Yeah.
And that's why a lot of your jokes worked, was because of there was a rhythm to it of knowing where you had to go.
It worked all right. Oh, God. I'm getting emotional.
Yeah. Well, no, you should. You should. You should enjoy this. And here's the next thing that you've got to look forward to. Not getting to sleep before 4 a.m. Because that adrenaline, you're, like, to be honest, you're completely
fucked.
Welcome to Red Wine Town.
Yeah, yeah. We're about to go and buy you a bundle of marijuana, and you're going to take 37 bongs in 15 minutes.
Great, I was going to get my mum.
Still buzzing, I took my friend Jackie aside to hear what she thought of the set.
Oh my God, Jackie, I did it.
You did it, mate. I'm so proud of you.
Can you tell me what happened? Because I don't remember a thing.
I was shitting myself as equally as much as you were, honestly.
So when I walked on stage, did you feel nervous?
I was really very anxious in the lead up to that. Very anxious for you. I've never seen you in this state before.
Oh, I was horrible.
But you were, you did everything that I thought you were going to do. You were, you're a natural performer. You know, you just kind of flew your way through it. You know, you had your notes, you had your points, you had your strong, you had your, what am I saying? You stopped for laughter. It was good. It was all very good. How did you feel when you were on there?
I remember getting laughs and going, this feels good.
Yep.
Then I got a tip just before I went on stage. Thank the MC and use that time to get the mic out, take a deep breath.
Oh, yeah, that's nice.
Get your surroundings because then... And that helped me so much.
I did notice that you did that and I was quite impressed.
Yeah, I wouldn't usually. I'm very selfish.
Yeah, yeah. And that was excellent.
It felt good.
My only criticism?
Yes, good.
I think that you ended too abruptly.
Yeah.
And you know what I noticed that the good comedians do? No offence. They say, I've been, and they insert their name. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, good one.
I've been Leon Shergren, thanks for having me. Otherwise, you were splendid.
Great.
I honestly thought at the end of that, I was like, oh, I'm going to have to fucking see more of these.
Last episode is next week. You're fine.
good. That's the end.
Thank you for coming up.
You're welcome.
It was such an amazing feeling doing it. I'm not sure if it was because I was relieved that I didn't fail, or because after the long build-up I'd finally done it, or it could have been the adrenaline pumping through my body at the time. But it felt fucking brilliant. I was so proud of myself for finally going through with this. And without doing this podcast, I know I would have found an excuse to move it to another date or not do it at all. But right now, I was so glad that I'd done it. Next week on Am I Funny? I want some feedback and thoughts on how I went. And I'd love to hear from you guys, the awesome listeners who have been supporting me all over the world. Now you've heard my stand-up, and the video is currently on the Am I Funny Facebook page, I would love for you to watch it and send me your thoughts on my stand-up. Good or bad, I've got tough skin. Send it through on Twitter or Instagram at Am I Funny Pod, or search Am I Funny on Facebook. I want to collate all your responses, and next week we'll hear thoughts from all of you guys, plus the comedians that have appeared throughout this podcast. And finally, we'll find the answer to my question, Am I Funny? A massive thanks to producer Sam Kavanagh, audio production by Thomas Green, and thanks to Joel Riley for filming my gig. Also, thanks to all the comedians, friends and family that gave their time up, and also the ones that made the effort to turn up to the gig. It was mind-blowing to have you all there to support me. Also, a massive thanks to Reese and the team at Cafe Lounge for having me on the night, and all the other amazing comedians performing that night as well. Am I Funny's theme song is created by Josh Woodward, and more info on music is at amifunnypodcast.com.
This podcast is part of the Planet Broadcasting Network.
Visit planetbcasting.com for more podcasts from our great mates. I mean, if you want. It's up to you.